The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron. You are listening to Bicycle Talk, episode 467, to be broadcast on New Year's Eve on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment and I might be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you're listening on Facebook Live, you can comment right down here below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. The bad news on 2025, as presented by StreetsBlog USA. We're going to get back to that. Yeah, a bunch of stuff went down this year, which wasn't real good for transportation and alternative transportation, i.e. bicycles, pedestrians, etc. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later, and there'll be more in the show. On a positive side, Happy New Year's Eve. Yeah, I figure it's time to talk about New Year's Eve, because this is when this show is going to be broadcast on WHUS. So we will get to it. Talk about resolutions, talk about past year, etc. Big sigh. Anyway, we'll get to it later in the show. And also on a positive side, oops, I skipped this one last week. Connecticut starts nearly $3.7 million job extending their Central Rail Trail. And here's what's planned. We'll talk more about that later in the show. And what do Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Norway, Sweden, and the Netherlands have in common? It's not endless sunshine or mild winters. Sorry, Finland. It's bikes and safe and connected places to ride. We'll talk more about that later in the show. And on the Mechanical Minute and Bike Tips, Blue Monday Buster, why bicycles are the perfect antidote to the winter blues. We can actually get onto that right away, and we will go right into that part of our episode. This comes along with, it's Ron's Tip of the Week, you know, how to alleviate the blues, the bicycle, well, not the bicycle blues, but the blues in general. Bicycles are obviously the answer. So here it comes. We're going to get into that time of year. We are in that time of year where we don't have a whole lot of daylight going on up here in the great northeast of the United States. And so things can get a little dark. It can be a little bit more difficult to get your butt in gear for the morning hours. As you will see, I am actually broadcasting this in the afternoon hours because of that. And Fran gave me a hard time for that. But that's, whatever. I just have to have it recorded for Wednesday, that's all. So anyway, let's talk a little bit more about this sort of thing. It's today is Monday, and this will be broadcast on Wednesday, so you will. That's why we talk about Blue Monday. But let's talk a little bit about why bicycle is the best way to bust the winter blue rut. So cycling serves as an effective stress buster. The rhythmic motion of pedaling and focus required to navigate through different terrains contribute to the release of endorphins, the body's natural mood lifters. The combination of fresh air, scenic routes, and the rhythmic cadence of cycling and pedaling create an environment conducive to stress reduction. This, in turn, helps alleviate symptoms of anxiety and depression. Pretty simple stuff, right? Mindfulness and presence. Riding a bicycle demands a level of mindfulness and presence. Unlike the distractions often associated with modern life, cycling requires focus on the immediate surroundings, the road or the trail ahead, and the physical sensations of the body. This meditative quality promotes mental clarity, allowing cyclists to momentarily detach from their daily worries and be present in the moment. You got to pay attention when you're riding a bike. That's pretty good advice, I would say. Improved sleep quality. Well, this is one we don't have any trouble with here at the Mansfield residence. Regular physical activity, such as cycling, has been linked to better sleep quality. The exertion of energy during a ride contributes to more restful sleep, aiding in the overall maintenance of mental health. Quality sleep is essential for cognitive function, emotional well-being, and stress resilience. Community and social interaction. Cycling can also be social activity, fostering a sense of community. Group rides or cycling clubs provide an opportunity for social interaction, reducing feelings of isolation and loneliness. The shared experience of cycling not only promotes the camaraderie, but also creates a support network, which is crucial for mental health. It's all getting better here, folks, already. I'm starting to feel cheery already. A Blue Monday boost in self-esteem. Setting the achieving cycling goals, whether it's conquering in a challenging trail or completing a long-distance ride, can significantly boost self-esteem and confidence. The sense of accomplishment and the physical improvements over time contribute to a positive self-image and greater overall sense of well-being. Mind-body connection. Cycling is a holistic activity that engages both the body and the mind. The coordination required for balanced navigation and responding to the environment enhances the mind-body connection. The synergy has a positive impact on cognitive function and can contribute to improved mental resilience. Beautiful. Nature therapy. Many cyclists choose routes that take them through natural landscapes, providing a form of nature therapy. The exposure to greenery, fresh air, the sounds of nature has been shown to have a restorative effect on mental health, and it helps reduce mental fatigue, improve mood, increase sense of well-being. And then the final thoughts here, embracing the therapeutic journey on two wheels, breathe the crisp, fresh air, pedal your way towards a brighter state of mind. Surviving Blue Monday isn't just about enduring, it's about thriving, and with each revolution of the wheels, you pave the way to a mental sanctuary where the blues are but a fleeting shadow in the rearview mirror. Nice, huh? So why do I bring this up now? Because it's that time of year. It's that time of year that people talk about their New Year's resolutions. And so today, I would like to focus a little bit on that topic. We'll focus on some other things also. But let's talk a little bit more about cycling 2026, where we're going, what we're doing, and why I love to ride my bike. Okay, let's move it on. So the next thing I want to, we're not going to go there right away. We're going to go down here. Let's go all the way down here. So the New Year's resolutions, everybody's got New Year's resolutions. I have them. I definitely have them. I am going to work on better health and better fitness this year. And that's kind of a resolution I sort of kind of live in all my life, and I've always been that way. But because I had such a tough year as far as my physical health went due to the neck issue, and anyone who has listened to my show on a regular basis knows that I had a severe bout of spinal stenosis brought on by, thanks, Mom, my genetic background. My mom's side of the family, well, definitely my mom for sure, had a lot of problems with arthritis. And of course, she in turn gave me the gift and passed it on to me. And so when I got to be older, all of a sudden it caught up with me. What was my major concern? First thing I asked when I went to the neurologist and talked to him about, you know, what's going on with my neck and why is this happening and did my bike do this? That was the first question. Did my bike do this? He assured me it had absolutely nothing to do with my bicycle whatsoever. So if you're listening to this podcast or this radio show right now, and you're concerned about the fact that the guy who talks on the radio all the time about bicycles is talking about having a severe neck problem, it wasn't created by the bicycle. Actually, it's probably the last thing that really contributed to it. I was told that it can be aggravating on the particular situation because of the bicycle, but it was in no way caused by the bicycle. As a matter of fact, the improved circulation that you get from cycling, the all the positive physical benefits of cycling probably kept this from happening earlier. So as did the same thing with my my heart issue when I had a heart issue. And my recovery from both of those has been outstanding, primarily because of the good health that I have been able to maintain through years and years of cycling. So we're going to put that behind us. Now comes the hard part. I got to start over again. I have to rebuild everything that I had had as a base over the years. And that is going to be a lot of work and has already been a lot of work. I'm 6 months out of surgery and I'm still not anywhere near the degree of flexibility, nor will I ever be, that I was before I had the surgery done on my neck. That's what happens when they build a small bridge behind your neck. So, yes, and it is a small bridge. 16 titanium screws and 2 titanium rods create one minor bridge. Anyway, good news is that, you know, I'm horizontal. No, I'm not. I'm vertical. Horizontal is what we do at night. Vertical is what we do during the day. So I'm upright. I'm able to function pretty well. I'm back to teaching all of my classes. I'm teaching at least, 10 classes a week up at the community center. And also 2 classes a week at the local gym. So I'm definitely back up to my level of activity of 12 hours a week, which is really, really good. The problem is that I'm very weak because I took too much of a break, I guess, is what I would call it. Is that, you know, too much downtime, not enough uptime. And because of that, I lost a lot of strength in the process. I also lost strength because that was gradually happening because of the problem with my neck. So my goal this year is to get in the weight room, which is where I was this morning, because I got to get my strength back. I got a lot of work to do. I've got a lot of rebuilding of the muscles behind my neck and down my back because they had to be disconnected to do the surgery and then reconnected. You don't want to know. Hopefully, no one listening to this show ever has to go through this. Hopefully, if there is someone who's listening to this show who is about to undergo it, maybe they could send out and ask me some questions. BicycleTalk1@gmail.com. Anybody who wishes to talk to me about it, I am an open book, so I'm definitely, you know, up for doing that. What I'm hoping is because of my increased cycling indoors and this time of year, because I'm not really riding outside, and also my strength exercises that I'm doing and flexibility exercises, including yoga, etc., I believe I should be able to get my body back into a place where I will be able to comfortably ride my bike outdoors. I'm going to find out about that in about a week because Fran and I are leaving this Saturday to fly down to see her mother in Florida. And so we will be down there riding bicycles because we both have bicycles down there that are waiting for us that we keep down there. So I'm hoping to get out on the bike and you know, I'll report back to you in a week and let you know how it all went. But anyway, hoping to get out on a bike, and it is very Florida flat down there. The only problem is the Florida Hills, which the Florida Hills are obviously the headwinds that you deal with when you're riding on a peninsula in the middle of two great bodies of water. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But just the fact that I'll be outside and getting fresh air and getting sunshine, some good vitamin D, I can't see where this will not be a great trip. So it should work out well. We'll be there for a week and then we'll be back. And I will report back and let you know how everything went. I know that I'm not going to have the same strength that I've had because I have been fighting with that anyway. But, you know, again, it'll come back with time. So we're working on it. That's my resolution. My resolution is to get my body back to the point where it was a couple of years ago when I had finally finished recovering from the quadruple bypass I had done on me. Another genetic defect, by the way. Not anything caused by the bicycle. Actually something saved by the bicycle. The bicycle has saved my life now twice. And that is by indicating that something was severely wrong and I needed to do something about it. And I would not have known that had I not been riding my bike and had some very strong signals that something just didn't seem right. The both of the surgeries that were performed on me during these times were both recognized by the medical community as rather fascinating to them because they had never seen anyone that was as fit as I was and was still able to function as I was functioning at the level and the capacity that I had, that was at or had lost. So once again, ride your bike. It really could save your life. You'll hear that byline at the end of every show because my bicycle is super important to me. And I hope that it's important to you too, because it's kind of a beautiful machine. It really is. So let's move on to some bicycle resolutions. I found a couple of them here. I found one that is, let's see here. This is very, very general. It's a two-wheeled New Year's resolutions to make the most out of your bike. So number one, go on for more aimless social bike rides. A lot of us get out, we ride our bike, and you know, we don't think about the whole social aspect of it. We just go out, we go hard charging on our bike, we go out to get fit, we go out to get fast. Put that aside for a little bit. Maybe you just use your bike for transportation. But, you know, if you are just using it for transportation, good chance you're probably just riding by yourself. Try thinking about possibly inviting some friends out and, you know, ride out to a coffee shop and, or, you know, ride out to a local, you know, place where you can have a beer or a glass of wine or whatever. Caution when getting back on the bike afterwards. Maybe you should start and finish the ride from that destination. That's kind of a nice idea too. So get out and do a few more things socially. It really is wonderful. It's a great way to communicate with people. And I find it's easier for me, believe it or not, it's easier for me to talk when I'm on my bike than it is when I'm not on my bike. I know some people will just kind of laugh when they hear that sort of thing from coming out of me. Anyway, learn how to fix your bike. Yeah, that's always a good one. And this is not my resolution. This is coming from a list of resolutions. I know how to fix my bike. I've learned a lot about fixing bikes over the years. I am probably going to explore moving into the world of modifying one of my bicycles and turning it into an e-style bicycle. That's one of my goals for 2026, is to put together a formidable bicycle that I can go fairly great distances with that has some electronic assistance with it. So that's one of mine. I'll go on a bike tour, even if it's a short one. Maybe it's just a weekend. Think about that. Find a destination. Here's an idea. Find a destination that is X number of miles away from you, as far as you can pedal, okay? And ride your bike to that destination. Maybe it's an Airbnb or a hotel or something that you could stay over at, and then stay the night there, and then ride your bike back home the next day. That's kind of a fun thing. I have some friends who have actually, they've taken the Montrealer, which is an Amtrak train that goes all the way up to Montreal, up through New England, and then they get off the train, and then they ride their bicycles home from there. And it turns into a multi-day trip, for sure. And you have to think about it ahead of time. You have to think about where you're going to stop, make sure you have a place to stay during those times, and just make a little bike tour out of it. Kind of fun. Kind of a neat idea, isn't it? Just ride your way back home. All right. All right. This is not something I would do, but this particular author says, move a couch with a regular bicycle. I'm not going to say move a couch. I talked last week about possibilities of going out and getting your Christmas tree and bringing it back with your bicycle. This would kind of fall into that same idea, figuring out a way that you would be able to transport something large and interesting by using your bicycle and not using a motorized vehicle. Once again, it goes back to a sturdy cargo trailer of some sort, or a modified trailer that has become a cargo trailer of some sort, and, you know, figure it out. Transport something large, something larger than you could normally do with a bicycle. That's kind of a neat thing. Road cycling, moving on to different aspects of the road, maybe discovering some new roads, maybe going to an area where you haven't ridden before and discovering some roads there, maybe getting a hold of some friends that live in an entirely different place within your state or maybe a few states over and arranging a time to go do that social ride with some friends. It's a good thing. Ride whenever possible. It's a big one. It's a game changer. Ride your bike as much as you possibly can. It is something that as I stated earlier in this show, it will create better mental health, physical health. There's just so many things about it that are real and are worth experiencing. Go out for a bike ride and encounter just one day when you go out and ride. Let's say it's in the spring. The goal is to smell as many smells as you can while you're riding your bike. One of those may be car exhaust, I'll admit. Another one may be the smells of a farm. Farms get pretty active in the spring, and that's kind of an interesting thing. But another one is, and I often will speak about this on this show, I'll talk about the times of years when I go out and ride and I smell the wild roses that grow along the sides of the road. And it's overwhelming how wonderful that smell is. When the lilacs first come out, you can smell them when you pass by. And go out and try to find a road that has a house that has maybe a big batch of lilacs in their front yard. It's incredible. So use your bike for whatever you can use it for, but experience everything that's around you. It's just such a wonderful thing. It is truly my religious experience when I am on my bicycle. So anyway, these were suggestions from actually Momentum Magazine out of Canada, but then there's also other places that have New Year's resolutions, and this would be bite off of Bike Radar, 10 cycling New Year's resolutions and how to stick to them. So how to stick to them is the trick, isn't it? Yeah. So getting fit, it's always on the top of everyone's list. I'm going to get fit so I can really go out and ride my bike. Well, you know, that's nice. And it's definitely possible. It's definitely doable. But you also have to realize that you need to take everything at an approachable level. Because if you do not, then you will become discouraged. And we don't like to see that. At the gym, because I spend a lot of time in the gym in the wintertime, unfortunately in the summertime too, because people still like taking my classes, we refer to the 1st of January as that time of New Year's resolution. And all the new faces that show up at the gym are known as the resolutionists. Viva la resolution. Yeah. So what happens is everybody gets this great idea. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get fit. I listened to Peddlin' Ron on the radio the other day, and he said that I need to have some goals and I need to get fit, and it really sounds good to me. They come in and they last for a week, maybe 2 weeks. Maybe they go for the big one and they last a whole month. If you can make it a whole month, you will probably stick with it. But remember, you have to structure your training plan and you have to stay consistent. And what I mean by that is maybe it's not a good idea for you to hop into an hour-long spin class right away. Maybe you should just spend 20 minutes on an indoor exercise bike to begin with and get your legs about you and get your fitness starting to move in that direction. Because I see a lot of people that come to a spin class and they get discouraged because they either push themselves too far, feel like they need to push themselves too far. That's usually the crime right there. Or whatever. For whatever reason, they give up because it was too hard. It's the two disease. Too fast, too soon, too hard, too often. The two disease, as I like to call it. So you got to be careful about the fit thing. And a lot of people look at it as, well, you know, I want to get fit because I really need to lose some weight. Don't anticipate immediate weight loss when you get on a bicycle. That's just not going to happen. What you need is you need to just get into the consistency of the effort. Maybe I was just talking to someone this morning at the gym, and she said something to me about how I really need to come back and start doing your spin classes again. And I said, I'd love to see you there. And she said, yeah. She said, I used to do them years ago, and I really, really liked doing them, but I don't know if I'm ready for it. And I went, look, my spin classes are, they're not super rigid or strict. They are more conversational rides with fitness involved. And that's really the whole foundation of how I teach a spin class. I really want people to come in, get comfortable on the bike, get comfortable with the people that are in the room, maybe have a little conversation while you're riding. I don't get aggravated by it. Years ago, I used to say to myself, how can this person be talking this much and still be getting a workout? That's not my concern. That's their concern. It's not my concern. I don't care. If you want to come in and chit-chat with your friend while you're riding on the spin bike, that's great. That's great. Good for you. You found a nice social interaction. You have found something you like to show up to so you can visit with your friend. And you're also getting some physical benefit out of it too. So don't fall into the trap. If the trap is what you need, if you need that to keep you motivated and keep you going, then that's fine. But, you know, you need to really take a look at your goals and what you're trying to do. Along with that, I also encourage people to take a little bit of a focus about learning about what food they're eating and how it makes them feel when they're working out. Or can I eat before I work out? Or should I not eat before I work out? What should I eat after I work out? There's a lot of little combinations there. And you usually get that from people who work in gyms. They will give you a really good idea because many of them, like myself, are trained to transfer that information to you and get you motivated and get you back on track again. So you got to learn to relax. That's another one. big time. Life is stressful. Take time to relax. Really, self-care is crucial in keeping you in the saddle and happy to be there. You don't have to know. So if you don't know where to start, research the best approach for you. It could be a local workshop, meditation, or breathing technique, a yoga class, or something else entirely. I teach a spin/yoga class. Yeah, we start out with about a half an hour, 25 minutes to a half an hour of spinning, and then it's usually a work them up and work them back down, warm up, cool down type of experience. So it's nothing really, really difficult. Tends to attract a lot of beginners into the concept of taking a spin class. And then we do a half an hour of very gentle and relaxing yoga afterwards. Lots of stretching specific muscles that we might have used while we were on the bike, that sort of thing, or just a relaxation and get yourself completely away from the world type of yoga class. So that's another way of doing it. And it really, you know, it's really a wonderful way to get going. You got to keep a healthy balance. You've got to realize that cycling resolutions require time and commitment. You know, there is possibly a financial cost to it if you are going to a gym in the cold months, but you really also have to realize that you can't spend all your time there too. You want to spend your time with your friends and your family. Maybe you can find some new friends that are very interested in joining you with your fitness endeavor, but you know, also don't forget about your old friends, your family, and the things that are important to you in your life. So that's super helpful. Introduce someone else to cycling. I like this one a lot. I really do. One of the main goals I had when I became an instructor over 21 years ago, an indoor instructor over 21 years ago, was I wanted to figure out what this indoor cycling thing was all about. First off, I wanted to understand it, I wanted to study it, but more than that, I wanted to see if there was a possibility of taking my enthusiasm for riding my bicycle outdoors and transferring it into the indoors and then drawing maybe one or two people out. I've been very successful with that over the years. I've taken people from just attending spin class to their first 100-mile ride. I've done a lot of getting people from one point to another point once the weather gets nice. So introduce someone new to cycling. See what you can do. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a colleague at work. It could be anyone, really. So check that out and see what you can do. And here's another one. Try a different discipline. So there are different types of cycling disciplines. Many of us know what it's like to ride on the road because that's where we may have started. And so there's that. Also, many of us know what it's like to ride on, let's say, a protected trail, like a rail trail, a rails to trail type situation, multi-use trail. Maybe you should just try a little bit of riding on the road. Give that a try. Maybe it's the other way around and the road cyclists haven't really looked into, you know, trying. Why is everybody so hooked on these bicycle trails? Just remember that when you do make that transition from one to the other, that the rules are a little bit different. So you got to be more respectful of the others that are in those situations. And maybe, you know, here's another one. If you're a road cyclist, you might want to try doing a local time trial. And if you can't find a local time trial, make one of your own. Measure out a distance that is, let's say, 2 miles out, 2 miles back, and you go as hard as you can and turn around and come back as hard as you can. Or maybe it's just point to point, but give yourself a chance to maybe just try to push the limits a little bit and see how you feel. You may love it. You may hate it. I'm not gonna kid you there. So that's a possibility. Maybe it would be something like getting involved in an organized bike tour, a fundraiser tour, or something like that. That's another thing you can look at. And, you know, make sure you keep your bike clean, look after your bike, spend a little bit of time taking care of the machine that takes care of you. That's another thing you can do. And complete a long distance ride. Maybe work on a goal. Let's say you have a long distance ride that's in your community that comes up in August. Plan on taking from that date and counting backwards 12 weeks. So I always tell people 12 weeks, go back 12 weeks, and then gradually increase your mileage up to a point where you are trying to accomplish that ride. And do a long bike ride. Maybe it'll be a mountain bike ride. Maybe it'll be a rail trail ride. But, you know, work on a goal. And that's a good thing. Entering an event is another thing you can do. One that people don't think about a lot, and it's super important to maintaining your comfort on your bike, is to work your core. So that's another thing that I like to do in the wintertime more so than in the summertime, because in the summertime I'd just rather be out riding my bike than kind of putting my energy there, although you still have to maintain it so you can maintain a good position and a high level of comfort while you're riding your bike. But it's a simple resolution that you can stick with. I did some core stuff this morning at the gym, and I was reminded that I really need to do more core because it's hard. It's really hard when you haven't done it for a while. So maybe you have a 2-time-a-week, twice-a-week strength plan that you try to work on and write everything down so you know exactly how much weight you might have been using on this machine or that machine or whatever. Or this morning, I did two different exercises that didn't require any machines at all. It required me to use my body to do it. So you can find things to do, but you want to also keep a count on that. So like one of the things I did was just required me to use my body, but I was able to do 10 repeats, and I was able to do 3 sets of 10 repeats. And I know how many I can do. I know that I'm not going to do any more than that because I'm going to feel it tomorrow morning. But then gradually work your way up. Don't dive in head first and expect that you're going to get super fit right away. It just doesn't work that way. Maybe if you're young, it does work that way and that can work for you. But at my age, I have found that I have to take everything in baby steps. Funny the way that works. Volunteer or donate to a cycling charity. So if there's a charity ride in your area, or if there's an event, one that I like to do every year is I like to do the Best Buddies ride out of the Cape. I love doing that ride. I'm a captain of a tandem, and I put a special needs person on the back of my tandem, and I ride them 20 miles on a bike. And we go through the entire experience of finishing the event and the camaraderie and the cheering at the end. I got to tell you, there's no better experience that you can do than that. It's just really, really motivating, really enlightening. So maybe you should, you know, look at maybe something like that. There's lots of things you can do. So here's a neat little idea. Pick 12 small cycling goals and complete one per month of the year. This would be perfect if you're looking to improve your performance and ride specific events, or if you struggle to stay motivated for something that seems fairly far away. Monthly goals help you keep things interesting and mix them up a little bit, and they can help you work towards a larger goal without you even realizing it. So, and then those are the small goals, and then maybe 3 larger goals throughout the year, and you try to put those all together. So it's a matter of sitting down with a piece of paper that helps, or your computer or your phone or your tablet or whatever it is that you record information on, and write them down, put them down in front of you in black and white so you can go back and go, yep, did that. Yep, did that, check boxes, right? And then go, I haven't done that yet. Yeah, I'm going to have to still work on that. You know, whatever. It keeps you accountable to yourself. So that's the way you get through the resolutions. That's the way you stick with the resolutions. Remember, if you're having a hard time sticking to resolutions, share them with someone who will join you. And that makes a huge, huge difference. Having a buddy to get through your resolutions with, having a partner that knows what your ideas are and what your resolutions are, will help keep you motivated and help keep you going forward. That's my New Year's resolution piece of the show, because it is New Year's Eve if you are listening to this on WHUS right now. So I just want to make sure that we get that going. And then check back in a month and let's see how close you came to sticking with some of those resolutions. I'm telling you, if you're on a bike, it makes it a lot easier, because the bike is generally something that is enjoyable and something we all did as kids. And so it's kind of like, you know, riding a bike. So anyway, that's what you can do. You can also share them. I know a lot of people share their workouts on Facebook, and they share them on Instagram, and they share them on Twitter or X or whatever the heck they call that thing now. And, you know, they'll put stuff out there and they share them, and that helps them keep themselves accountable. It's another way of doing it. But, let's work on that, okay? We'll talk about this in a little while. Maybe I'll do a reflection show on February 1st so that we can talk about, how close are you to meeting your goals and your resolutions that you had focused on around the first of the year. So, and I will also compare and share mine too. That's another thing that we can do. So we're going to do this. We're going to get rid of this and move on to the next thing in the show. And I don't want to miss out on this week, because I did last week. And let's make sure this will pop up. This was an article from the Hartford Courant, and it is Connecticut starts near... Oh, yeah, don't do this to me. I already am a subscriber, and I hate this. We may have to not talk about this. Maybe this is why I got in trouble last time. I should be in here. But anyway, there is a bike trail. I can give you a synopsis on this, because I did read the article earlier, and it's... It basically talks about the connection of the Farmington River Trail to the New Haven Trail, and that there has been a problem with that over the years, because there's been a section in Plainville that has been very, very difficult to keep open. And so it's I guess it goes across some, what it comes down to is it goes across some private land, and the private landowner is not super interested in being having that going through his property. And it's a business, and it's near a live rail, and I think that they finally have gotten to a point where they've made some serious negotiations with that particular landowner, and there is a $3.5 million project which is going to help connect the dots basically between the Farmington River Trail and the New Haven Trail, which will be super cool, because then you will basically be able to go from New Haven all the way up to Westfield, Massachusetts, where they're working on another section up there from Westfield up through East Hampton and into Northampton. And there is a short segment of that which is also missing, but they did have a big bridge project that went through recently in the last couple of years, and I believe that bridge is open now. So now there's just a short segment that going into East Hampton that needs to be connected from Westfield, and then from, I have ridden from the East Hampton piece that is developed all the way up into Northampton, Northampton all the way over to Amherst, Amherst all the way out to Belchertown. It's fabulous. It's really, really cool. And it's all on a protected trail, an old railroad trail. So really, really cool. And so apparently this is really good news because Connecticut is now working on this, and this is what is going to happen. And I'm sorry I don't have anything more there to look at. Let's go on to the next thing on our list then. First, we're going to talk about... This is horrible. I hate to do it, but I'm going to go there anyway. The bad news year in review. Here's the bad news from 2025. And there are two words here. Are you ready? First word is Trump. The second word is 2.0. Yeah. So anyway, there's no sugarcoating this. This comes off of Streets blog. There's no sugarcoating it at all. This year was one of the roughest years for transportation and reform priorities in recent memory, at least if you're talking about Washington. The Trump administration officials made no secret of their distaste for many of the livable streets initiatives that Streets blog readers hold most dear, and then came after funding for those priorities in just about every way they legally could, and a few that they legally couldn't. Sheer number and breadth of the attacks, though, was hard to keep straight, and it made for a dizzying year for sustainable transportation news and an exhausting year for advocates dedicated to fighting back. Yeah, there were some victories. No, it wasn't all doom and gloom, and they'll still cover the good news tomorrow. But as we take a look at this, let's take a second and take stock of all the whiplash, the chaos, the brutal defeats, and that happened in the last 12 months, minus 20 days alone, if only so we can better prepare ourselves for whatever lies ahead. In January, the new administration took the helm in Washington and immediately started amping up the rhetoric about so-called EV mandate that only resulted in a 1.4% of the vehicles on the road running on battery, steering Americans towards buying more gas-powered cars. So that's the beginning. Also in January, competitive lumberjack turned real world castmate turned Republican congressman turned Fox News host Sean Duffy underwent one more pivot in his multi-hyphenate career, where he was sworn in as the next U.S. Transportation Secretary. Remember, transportation isn't just cars and trucks. Try to have this conversation with my local DOT all the time, but it's very difficult. By the end of February, he had deleted the Complete Streets webpage from the U.S. DOT's website, erasing critical research on the benefits of infrastructure for people outside of cars. That would be us folks, people on bicycles. So the disturbing development presaged what would turn out to be months of still ongoing attacks on people-first transportation priorities. Whether they claimed in it violated a stunning, broad, and vague executive orders against diversity, equity, and inclusion, or against so-called new Green New Deal, the Trump administration found cause to review just about any project it didn't like, starting with what were essential keyword searches for things like green infrastructure and bikes. Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. When asked by Congress in April why the transportation funds were being potentially illegally impounded to conduct those reviews, Secretary Duffy blamed his predecessor, Pete Buttigieg, lies, 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 for saddling the agency with thousands of incomplete grant obligations and promised the money was totally on its way. That flimsy excuse, though, looked even more transparent as the so-called cruelest month war on, and it was revealed that the first federal grants with Duffy at the helm would be looked on unfavorably if they included infrastructure resulting in reduced lane capacity for vehicles. That means increased bike lanes, by the way. And then he said some of the dumbest things we ever heard about bike lanes at a public event. And there was a section I did earlier this year about U.S. DOT Secretary Sean Duffy is dead wrong about bike lanes. That was reported by Kia Wilson on Streets blog on April 25th of 2025. And it's just his information sources were completely wrong. They were completely misread. And he didn't know what he was talking about, basically. Hard to watch. And then the tariffs hit the bike industry. The bike industry was just wiped out because of this. I've reported on this numerous times on the show about the effects that bike shops, local bike shops, are having with the tariffs, the bicycle industry, and what they're having problems with the tariffs. Talked about it last week's show. It's just been a real travesty what's going on there. And that doesn't really help us much when we're trying to get more people on bicycles. We're not going to stop. That's the big thing here. We are not going to stop. That is another thing that I am going to stay on top of throughout my year for my 2026 resolution, is to remain on the top of bicycle advocacy as much as I possibly can. So just because it wasn't enough for just 1 month, the EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin also moved to erase legal bedrock that underlies most of the climate regulations a couple of weeks later. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Climate change was debunked. This is just really, once again, a complete travesty. And it's part of the reason why some of us like to ride our bikes is because we like to feel like we're giving a little bit back to the planet. And it's just sad what has happened with this administration in charge. They've done a lot of damage. And that damage is not permanent. I just want you to know it's not permanent. Keep thinking the way you think. Keep riding your bicycle. Keep thinking about how can I ride my bike more for transportation. We're not done yet, and we won't be done yet. So as things happen, this true too will pass. And remember, there is a midterm election coming up in November of 2026, and a lot can change. So stay positive. Stay positive and keep riding your bike. In the background of all this madness, Congress is busy drafting its earliest proposals for the federal surface transportation law that will replace the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act when it expires in September of 2026. And while some argue that we shouldn't even think of passing a bill until the current one is implemented as required by law, the GOP is still putting forward countless proposals, including the two in November that were both immediately panned by experts. And it's just really, really sad. The new year, of course, represents a new opportunity for America to change its transportation future, because if advocates don't organize, the Trump administration may just bring America into the golden age it's been promising, a golden age of dangerous pollution and communities destroying streets. That's it. That's from Streets blog. They did not think that 2025 went so well, and I understand why. So, let's see. We have some other things. Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Norway, Sweden. Okay, what is the secret behind happy communities? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not real hard to put a finger on this one, because you are listening to Bicycle Talk. Yeah, bicycles is what they all seem to have in common. Research shows that riding a bike naturally lifts your mood, reduces stress, gets you moving outdoors. When you pedal through the neighborhood, you get a chance to clear your head, breathe fresh air, and connect with the world around you. And it's not just about exercise. Every ride is a chance to see your neighbor, wave to a friend, and feel more rooted in your community. Across the United States, more communities are realizing the power of the bike. From Bentonville to Bloomington, Minneapolis to Fargo, cities are investing in protected bike lanes, greenways, and trails that make it easier and safer to ride. In the last 3 years, more than 1,000 bike projects have been completed or are nearly finished, plus 112 million Americans got out and rode last year. That momentum is real and it's growing. The joy of cycling, it starts with us very early. We all rode our bicycles when we were kids. And if you're in my age category, it was your transportation. It was the only way you could get over to your friend's house across town. And so it's very embedded in my brain that, that bicycles are good and cycling is a good idea. So just remember, there's happier and healthier communities out there, and they're out there because of bicycles, whether it be for a short trip or a long trip, whatever it may be. Maybe you're commuting, maybe you're just riding down the end of the street and back just to say hi to your neighbors. But it really does improve everything. And the folks that are over in Europe that have discovered this, they are truly the happiest places, the happiest people in the world. It's not the endless sunshine, mild winters. Not Finland. It's bikes and safe and connected places to ride. Big sigh here. All right, folks, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to cover all this other stuff that I have on my list next week. Next year, actually. Yeah, that's all true. It will be next year. So let's go down here and take a quick look at events. Save the date for the 2026 Leadership Conference in Dana Point, California, March 17th to the 20th, 2026. That's the People for Bikes Leadership Conference. In the 2026 Giro d'Italia will take place from May 8th until May 31st, featuring the famous Grande Partenza. In the first three stages in Bulgaria, after transferring to Italy, culminating in Rome. The 109th edition includes challenging mountain stages of the Alps and Dolomites, a key time trial, and finishes with the traditional circuit race in the Italian capital. The Tour de France 2026 will take place from July 4th to July 26th, kicking off with a Grand Départ in Barcelona, Spain, concluding with the traditional finish on the Champs-Élysées, featuring 21 challenging stages and two rest days. And that is the Grand Tour, right as I know it at this point. Remember, give us your opinion. Bicycling is freedom. Life is better when more people ride bikes. Cycling is an easier and safer option for more people, because when more people bike, people are happier and healthier, our communities are safer and friendlier, and our planet is greener. Together, we can help more people know the joy of cycling. I'll say it again, it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. And stop complaining about the traffic, dangerous roads, price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride, and do your part. And hey, take the Pedal and Ron Challenge. Consider parking that car or truck one day a week and just ride your bike instead. You will surprise yourself. Remember, when you're riding your bike or driving your car, please be safe and be kind. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment down here below, or you can send me an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org. iTunes, Spotify, or now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you want to contribute information, drop me an email. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep your rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. See you next year. Happy New Year.